The following is a presentation of Messenger International, a ministry committed to teach, reach, and rescue. For more information, visit messengerinternational.org.
So today, I'm talking about disappointment. And a few weeks ago in prayer, during our morning prayer, I was just pacing and we weren't praying anything that was in context to this, but I just heard the Spirit of God say, "Hannah, you will not be disappointed." And I knew immediately several things. I knew that something preceded that, and I knew that I was to go look at that in the Word where it actually says that. And then I also knew that that wasn't just for me, that the Spirit of God was saying that to us as a team, and that He wanted to address something with that, that there was something about disappointment and the way that we approach disappointment. So I went to the Word, and I just started looking for that phrase. And starting Psalm 22, it says, "To you they cried out and were delivered. In you they trusted and were not disappointed." Psalm 25:3 says, "Yes, let none who trust and wait hopefully and look for you be put to shame or be disappointed." Isaiah 49:23, "Then you will know that I am the Lord. Those who hope in me will not be disappointed." It goes on, and it just keeps going. Romans 10:11 says, "The scriptures say, no man who believes in him," in the Amplified, "who adheres to, relies on, and trusts in him will ever be put to shame or be disappointed." And so it's clearly in the Word. That exact phrase is in the Word. You will not be disappointed. But what are the things that precede that? And before I get into that, I want to talk about how does disappointment come up in our life. We have a clear plan, an expectation, or we put our hope in something and it doesn't come through the way that we have imagined. There's a great quote by Mike Tyson. And if you've ever thought to yourself, I probably won't ever quote Mike Tyson in a message. Well, and he said, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. And it's so true. That's what disappointment feels like. It's like I had this thing in mind and I'm going about it and I maybe do feel hopeful, and then all of a sudden something shifts and disappointment sets in and it completely changes how things. I don't know if you've ever been hit in the mouth, but I have, and it definitely changes the way I'm going about that. We grew up in the country, and I don't know what it is about country people, but they're scrappy. And I mean, we're very refined now, but it was like we had a huge family, and it was the two youngest were very small, so they weren't involved in this. But it was mom. Anytime she'd go to town, it was 3 hours for her to go and get back, and she'd leave a list of chores, which literally took 5 minutes to complete from the time she was at the gate to when she pulled in the drive. So in the meantime, what do? You have miniature wars. And so we would divide up into teams, and it was the alpha female, Sarah, the oldest, and me, who were like team captains. I'm the third. And if it was our lucky day, we would get our brother David. But if it wasn't, we'd get our sister Ada, who was dead weight, and she honestly cannot pull her weight in a fight. And I'd just be like, I don't even know what we were fighting about, but it was just physical. We were just being rowdy. And I remember the day that I overtook Sarah. I don't know. And I remember the look on her face where that just happened. My role, my place has just been questioned by the third born. She just took me down, and she definitely all over her face disappointment. And she just cried and told on me later. But that is a funny scenario of, honestly, that's how disappointment can just come on us like a flood. Disappointment, the actual meaning of disappointment, means feeling sad, unhappy, or displeased because something was not as good as expected, or because something you hoped for or expected did not happen. People can also be considered a disappointment. And so it's, I feel hopeful as long as things are going according to my plan, and then if they're not, I'm overtaken by this. So as the Lord's speaking to me about this, after He said, "You will not be disappointed, Hannah," and I know that that was something He meant to apply to this team as well, He brought me to the book of Daniel. And it's fascinating, actually, to read the book of Daniel from this perspective. And when we think the book of Daniel, we think Daniel fast, the beginning of the year, fruits and veggies, all of that. But reading it out of this place of these guys who were noble, they were from royal families, they were good looking, and they were, you know, you get the sense that they were friends. They were kind of going, yes, Daniel is the main character all throughout this, amazing guy, but he's with these guys who they're friends, even when they fast in chapter one. So I'm going to walk through the first three chapters of Daniel in the context of they had ample opportunity to be disappointed, but it was as if God was setting up these scenarios and grooming them so that he could put his glory on display through their lives because he was building a character in them that could not be disappointed. And I know that that's what God's saying to us today. He's saying, I'm addressing disappointment. You may have disappointment in your lives with yourself, with people. I'm addressing that. But I'm not only doing that, I'm wanting to build in you the character where you will go into scenarios where everyone else will react and be disappointed, but you've been built in a way where you will respond with a greater level of faith. As the scripture says, those who trust and wait hopefully and look for, you will never be put to shame or disappointed. That is the promise, and that's what God's building in your character through this. So looking at Daniel, this is a beautiful picture of this. It's a recipe for this type of training. And it's interesting when you start looking at it, they are the picture of Christians in a hostile world. They're surrounded by people who are just looking for opportunity to have them killed. We have it a little easier than that, but we will just learn from their example. So they've been taken into captivity, essentially, and they're being trained. They've fasted. They've been given favor. Then they're brought before the king. And this is what Daniel 1:19 says. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. So they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. So first of all, they've been brought to a place. I'm sure they had dreams and visions for their own lives. You know, they could easily be questioning the call of God. All of a sudden were captives to this king and in his service. But instead, they apply themselves to what God's given them to do, and they're excelling at it. And so we see that in chapter 1, verse 19. Then we go into chapter 2, where the king, who's very volatile, as you know, has had a dream, and he's threatening to kill all of the wise men, the enchanters, the astrologers, if they can't interpret this dream, which he won't even tell them what the dream is. And so Daniel gathers with these guys. I mean, I love teams. So I love imagining these guys as a team. And he comes back to them, Daniel, and says, listen, here's the deal. He's going to kill not only us, but everyone if we don't get the interpretation to this dream. Let's fast. Let's seek the Lord for this. And so they're unified. They do it together. And Daniel receives the interpretation to the dream during the night. So he goes to the king and he gives him the interpretation. So here again, God is setting up these scenarios. He's brought them into this, and they're operating by knowing who God is and knowing who they are in God. So they're not getting caught up in why is this happening? Why is this happening? What, you know, they're like, okay, here's what needs to be done. We're going to go about it. And so the king's, after Daniel interprets the dream, the king said to Daniel, surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery. Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in a charge of all his wise men. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained at the royal court. So we're seeing a pattern of challenge, trusting God, God putting his glory on display, promotion happening. Their character is being built and solidified during all of this time. Yeah. So as we go back to what the word's talking about, as we trust, as we wait, hopefully, and we look for God, things that these guys are putting into practice, we will not be disappointed. We will not be put to shame. And so this is looking at it through the lens of disappointment. I realize you could preach or talk about Daniel from many different aspects, but when you look at it through disappointment, they're being given a lot of opportunities to be disappointed, but instead they're operating out of the principles of we're hoping in God, we're waiting for Him, we're trusting, and we're looking for Him to come through for us, and we will not be put to shame or disappointed. Yeah. So then we arrive at Daniel 3, starting in verse 12. What's happening here is, once again, the people they're surrounded by, the king, very strange, has built an idol, and he, at any musical instrument, if any musical instrument plays, you better bow down to this idol. And it's very real. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and I imagine Daniel, they don't do it. And so the people who are surrounding them come to the king and say to the king, listen, these guys aren't bowing down. I don't know if you care about that, but they're just disobeying you. And we're not trying to cause any trouble, but that's what's happening. And so it starts in verse 13. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? So he's calling into question, where is your hope and trust? And of course, once again, this is set up. You could not convince me that God did not set this up to put his glory on display. Yes. And he knew what had been built in these guys, and he knew how they would respond. So their reply is, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. So I want us to imagine the scene. People are screaming. It's very crazy. It's very hot. People are crowding around to watch. Yes or no, could this be a scenario where they might be disappointed? I mean, he's clearly outlined what's going to happen if they don't do this thing that they know they can't do. And then they're replying by saying, we can't do this thing, but God will deliver us. And deliver us for these guys might look different than what we see in the rest of this story playing out. I mean, deliver us is like angels swooping in, or all of a sudden, you know, something happening that's very clear that God's delivering them. And are these guys really thinking, I want us to go there with them? Like, as they're saying these things that are very strong statements, are they thinking, we've got this? Or are they just advanced in their relationship with God and they know him so well, their hope and trust is in him? They know they will not be disappointed regardless of the outcome. And not just because they could potentially be dead, but because they put major stakes on the table and they know that God loves this. When that's what hope and trust in God really equates to, is when we'll put it out on the table and say, this is really what God can do and will do on my behalf. We saw this in action. I mean, this message was already on paper, but we saw this in action as a team yesterday morning when we came together to pray, and there was a matter brought before us, and David Gutierrez said, there's just something inside of me that can't hold anything back in this prayer, that we've got to put it all out there as a team and say, it doesn't matter what we think or what circumstance would say, this is what the God we serve wants to do. And so we're going to stand behind that. All of our hope and all of our trust is in him. And when that happened yesterday, it was like confirmation of God being like, this is what I'm building in this place. Pick it up. So they were not functioning out of a place of, I hope God comes through. They were functioning out of a place of, let's see what he will do. And I want to just, I'll get back to the story, but on the side of that, even felt like God started leading me through the way that we're such a goal-oriented group, that we're setting goals. We're always setting goals and achieving goals. And he said, are you achieving these goals out of a place of not wanting to be a disappointment or bring disappointment, instead of viewing goals as a benchmark to measure all that God will do through us to put his glory on display? So then back to the story, the king's very angry. He's heating up the furnace 10 times hotter, getting strong soldiers to tie them up, throw them in. People who threw them in were burned up. So this is a spectacle. Like, I mean, there is a lot going on. It's a very charged moment. And then they're watching as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are thrown into the furnace. What's going to happen? You're just on the edge of your seat. And what happens is they're walking around in the furnace. I mean, I want to be one of those guys. Like, I do. I want to know what that moment was like to be in the furnace with the Spirit of God, kind of like, hey guys, I'm here. You know, I don't know, was that an angel? Was that Jesus? Like, I've read different things, but that was the place to be. And that is the type of life that I want to live. You know, like, that's fine if God wanted to come in and deliver them through, you know, just like fine words and talking their way out of it. But no. They were in the furnace. It was 10 times hotter than it had ever been. It's killing people who are on the outside of the furnace, but they're not harmed at all. So what happens in those moments when we walk through times like that, where we're willing to go into a scenario where we could likely face disappointment, but it's not even on our mind because our hope and our trust is in the Lord? And the people who are watching us, they're watching and waiting for us to freak out and fold in those moments. Yeah. But instead, because we respond differently, because we're not disappointed, their hearts and their perspectives are changed. And sometimes the revelation that God wants to bring to another person's life comes through your life and the way that you're willing to navigate something. Yeah. And it goes back into the story where Nebuchadnezzar, God love him, says, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So it's after they've pulled them out, like, guys, get out of here. Like, come out of that furnace. He's like, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I love this guy. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who says anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no God can save in this way. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. And so there we go. They were tested. God put his glory on display. All their hope, all their trust, they weren't put to shame, they weren't disappointed. And then on the other side of it, they were promoted. And the king is saying, if you talk bad about this God, you're going to be cut into pieces and your house destroyed. So, you know, who knows what God wants to bring out of a scenario. And I could teach on Daniel, of course, out of boldness, like be bold, be courageous, and give you that pump up speech. But if we haven't dealt with misplaced hope and trust, we will still be disappointed, no matter how bold or how courageous we are. If we haven't solidified that as I go into this, God, my hope and all my trust is in you. Yeah. This trickles down in. So maybe you've dealt with God, all my hope and all my trust is in you, and I will not be put to shame or disappointed. But this trickles down into our lives personally in our interaction one with another. And if we've gotten into a pattern or habit, or even in ways that we didn't even know that it was there, if we have disappointment in our hearts, that affects us. And it actually, similar to unforgiveness, paralyzes us and it paralyzes other people. So with that, when God addresses something in our lives and says, you may have disappointment with me, you may have disappointment with others, and I'm addressing that today. And I do encourage you to take what God's planting in our hearts today and spend some time with it. And but when he does that, he wants to also give us something that will take the place of that. And so as I continued to study, he brought me to contentment. That's truly what takes the place of disappointment. Yes, our hope and trust is in you, but then practically, we find a contentment in any circumstance. And so that's also how we walk in out our everyday life. So I want to look at Paul for a moment. And in Philippians, he's writing a thank you note to the Philippians. They've given him support that he needed. And so he's writing them this letter, and he says, I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. And he's not saying, he's saying, I'm not saying this because I'm in need. I wasn't poor and sad, and then you gave me stuff, and now I'm happy, or things were turning out how I wanted them to, and now I'm happy. It's a deeper thing. There is a joy and contentment that's born. There's a peace and serenity that is built in us as Christians as we apply that hope and trust in the Lord. And Paul knew what he was talking about. He was privileged. And then he goes on to talk about the different trials that he faced, being shipwrecked and being hungry or having plenty. And he's saying, it's not those things that make me happy. I'm just content in knowing who I am in God. And I feel like that's what God is saying to us, is just be content in what I'm doing in your life, and know in that trust and in that hope for me that I am at work. And it's not I don't ask people for help. That's not what being content looks like. It's that inward peace. It's inward. And it's not pretending like things aren't hard. You can still voice your, God wants to hear what's going on. He loves that when we'll talk to him about the realities of our lives or talk to one another. But it's just handling things in a different way. Once again, and Ben Stewart, one of my favorite, I guess he's a pastor, he leads the college students of the campus of Texas A&M. He says, the people who are discontent without God are the most content people in the world. And that's what we see in this story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that they wanted to go and they wanted to keep the presence of God, even if that meant the presence of God was in that furnace. That's where they wanted to be. And I think contentment boils down to really just knowing, like, God, he runs this place. Yeah. All of this is his. All of us are his. You know, when things happen in our lives that could potentially bring disappointment, just knowing that, God, this is in control, your control, and I'm content in this. And I have this inward peace. I have this trust in you. I have this hope. I'm looking for you in this situation to put your glory on display. And then when we come to that place and we're in that place and we're in that place as a team, the world doesn't shake us, and it frees us up to be a blessing to other people. I just want to close in prayer, and I want to just read this verse. And it's not like I want to talk out this verse, but I felt like the Lord just gave me this verse as kind of a capstone to this message of, if there's anything left in you that's wondering, I feel like this is what the Lord is saying day in and day out. It's in Psalm 143:8. It says, let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I've put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life. And God, I truly ask that would be our prayer as a people. God, that we trust you, that we wait hopefully for you in every situation and circumstance. God, we look for you to put your glory on display. Yes. And God, no matter the circumstance, I ask that you would help us and to train us to be the ones who will be content and at peace, that you will just come through, God, in these scenarios that maybe you've brought to our mind and our heart, that you would just show yourself in them, that your glory truly would be put on display through us. Lord, we just submit ourselves to you as a people and as a staff, and God, just as a group that you gathered here today to hear this message and to say over us that we will not be disappointed as we hope and trust in you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
This has been a presentation of Messenger International, a ministry committed to teach, reach, and rescue. To find out more information on outreaches and resources, visit messengerinternational.org.